Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. I've chosen today's message based on a combination of things that have happened recently, talking with people of other faiths, and just other thoughts that I've put together. The title of the sermon is Man's Dominion, and I've chosen to use that title, Man's Dominion, for a reason, and hopefully we'll be able to see that as we go through this. Starting at verse 1 of Psalm 8, it says, O Lord, O Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast set thy glory above the heavens? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Now David here, this is the part that I came here. The next verses 3 through 9. David says, When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? So when David looks around and he sees all the splendor that God has created, does man really match up to that? What is man that God is mindful of him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Jehovah our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So David answers that question. This grand and glorious creation that God has made, man has actually been given the honor and the glory to rule over it, to have dominion over it. Let's turn back to Genesis and read that story. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll begin at verse 20. And God has created all the elements, has adorned the earth with the trees and the water and the mountains. And now he is, we'll pick up the story here in verse 20. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beasts of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The word dominion basically means to subjugate, to reign, to rule over, to have power over. And the word that we read in Psalm 8, dominion, is a different word than dominion here, but they both mean the same. Man is to have dominion over the face of the earth, over all of God's creation. However, we know that the story continues that man sinned and disobeyed God and was driven from the garden. And things began to change for how God had designed him to have that dominion. He began the process of death as a result of his sin. The earth also brought forth thorns and thistles, which he would now have to labor and toil to bring forth food for himself. And also we have the introduction of Satan as a force in the world. We can remember the words of Paul in the book of Romans, where he said that, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. The things that started to take control in the earth were different than what God has designed. Death had dominion, Satan had dominion, and man's dominion was diminished. When we get to the time of the flood, we see that man is now able to not only eat of the herbs of the field, but he is able to eat animals, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And because of that, fear came over all of the animals. And today when we have a chipmunk running up our leg and grab a peanut, we think that's pretty neat. Or have a fawn come out and take corn out of our hand or something like that. That is kind of a neat spectacle. That necessarily wouldn't have been that case in the time of Adam, when God and all his creation, with man included, all in harmony, all getting along, everything at peace, everything in its proper place and perspective. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The reason I came to this text is to show for sure that man's dominion is diminished, because we have now an adversary who is considered the God of this world, someone who is also known as the prince of this world. Someone who has taken authority that really is not his. He operates and moves in this earth to thwart man, to keep man and God separate, away from each other. Let's turn back to Psalm 119 and verse 132. And David says, look thou upon me, and be merciful unto me, as thou used to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Even though there is another force, another power in this earth that is exercising dominion, we don't have to turn ourselves over to it. Order my steps in thy word. That's in God's word. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If we allow ourselves to order our steps in God's word, to let God's word be a part of our life, Satan will not be able to have dominion over us. Let's remember some words from the situation of Cain and Abel. Genesis chapter 4, and starting at verse 7. Actually, let's begin at verse 6 to pick up the story there. And Jehovah said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Yeah, we can allow ourselves to have the wrong attitude. And if we do that, sin is at the door. And its dominion can be over us. Our desire will be towards it if we allow ourselves to be that way. But we are commanded, Cain was given this before he killed his brother. Thou shalt have dominion over him. We should have dominion over Satan. We should have dominion over sin. Let's turn to the book of James. Chapter 1. In verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That just reiterates everything that we've said up to this point. The ultimate end of sin is death. And there was a time, of course, that we mentioned earlier, that when Adam and Eve lived in the garden, that was not a time of death. They actually had the ability to take of the tree of life and live forever. But when sin occurred, that brought forth death. Let's turn to Acts 17 and verse 24. And this is in the middle of Paul's sermon on Mars Hill. And Paul says in verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. The world has allowed themselves to be deceived in many ways. Their desire is not to turn towards God. And even in theology, even in the study of God's Word, they have allowed their desires, their lusts, to turn to other teachings. We think today about the scientists. They seem to think that this earth will destroy itself, and man is the cause of that, and that we need to seek out and search other worlds in which to populate, because that day is coming, and we should be afraid of that. That's what they would like us to think. And then you have those who say they teach God's Word, but yet they do not teach that man's dominion is really here on this earth. God has appointed that all men should dwell on the face of the earth and appointed the bounds of their habitation. Adam was given dominion over the face of the earth. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll start at verse 5. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. And now we're getting into the area in which I was discussing some things with someone of another faith. God did not give the world to come for angels to rule over it. And this word here for world is, in Greek, is oikeimene. And that is not, it's different than aeon. When you read world in a lot of the New Testament, it's aeon, which is the age, the world, the age to come, the future age to come. Here, it's talking about the globe. The earth. God did not give angels the earth to rule over. But the writer of Hebrews says in verse 6, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. There it is, David's words again being quoted by the writer of Hebrews. It is man that has been given dominion over this earth. And why is that so important? Why do I keep stressing that? Well, we're coming to that point. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Yeah, we don't see the way it used to be when Adam was in the garden. Things are changed. Things are different. So how is that going to change back to the way it was? If God set it up that man should have dominion over this earth, how is that going to change? Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Man was made a little lower than the angels. Here we see Jesus is made lower than the angels. Jesus is a man. This is how man's dominion will come back to him, through Jesus. So this is, in my title I have at the top, it says, man's dominion, and in parentheses, through Christ. That's why it's important that Jesus is a man. For the suffering of death. If Jesus didn't really die, then his death doesn't mean anything. It's not a sacrifice. But being a man, it meant something, being a man. Actually having to go through suffering and to die. That by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Yeah, one man died for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And in verse 5, I did kind of skip over a part there where it says, whereof we speak. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Yeah, that is what the apostles spoke a lot about. That's what Jesus taught about the coming kingdom of God. The world to come. The globe to come. What's going to happen? And if you go back into the first chapter of Hebrews, at the end of the first chapter, let's see here, it says in verse 10, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Yeah, the things on this earth that have the thorns and the thistles and the things that are in a state of decay will be changed like a pair of old clothes. And new clothes will be put on it. These are things whereof they speak. The world to come. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. In verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Now those are things that are completely foreign to what we have now. But in verse 1, when the stem of Jesse is ruling, and that is Jesus, the son of David, the son of Jesse, things are going to change. When that man takes control of man's dominion, it starts to change things back to the way God intended. They shall eat straw like the ox. The lion will eat straw like the ox. Before, in the time of the garden, that's what they ate. They ate the herbs. Everything, man and beast. Now, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The world to come, whereof we speak. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Jehovah as the waters that cover the sea. Let's turn to Psalm 72. It has some similar language, and starting at verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. And they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. So he has dominion to all the ends of the earth. And even those that are clear out in the wilderness don't escape. They too will bow down to him. It says his enemies shall lick the dust. Now who are the enemies? Let's turn to Revelation 19. Revelation 19, and we'll start at verse 11. This gives us an interesting picture, a lot of symbolism into the coming of Jesus. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he hath a name written that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all, The fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. We already mentioned that Satan has dominion over this earth. And we see that the enemies of Christ happen to be the kings and the princes and the nations that do not go after God. They have deceived themselves and allowed their lusts and desires to come forth, and they follow after them. His enemies will lick the dust. And here we see that all the fowls of heaven are called to feast on the destruction, on their corpses. So we have a choice that we have to make. And whose dominion are we going to be a part of? Are we going to be a part of this world's dominion? To be a part of the God of this world? Or are we going to look forward to the dominion that man was originally given by God, that through Christ will be established on this earth? Let's turn to turn to Psalm chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 8. And this is Jehovah speaking to His Son, the King that He is going to set upon Mount Zion. And He says, "Ask of Me, and I shall give thee the heathen, the Gentile, for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Kissing the Son is very important. What does that mean, to kiss the Son? Well, I'm sure we've all seen it when somebody important, like a king, comes. We've seen it in documentaries and in reconstructive movies about kings and queens, and when someone comes before them, people are bowing. People will kiss their hand. Sometimes they kiss their feet. Some people in this world actually require that of their servants, to kiss their feet and to kiss their hand. Some people who say that they're men of God have their congregation kiss their hands and their feet. We're told to kiss the Son's feet, to worship Him, to honor Him. And what did Jesus say? And in simple terms, because we don't have the time to go into that, in simple terms, Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." So we have to understand, what are they? And search those out. Let's also turn to John chapter 5. Jesus has some words there. John 5 and verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." And actually, I wrote down the wrong verse. It's 24 that I want, but that's a good verse also to put with this. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me." So those that hear Jesus' words and believe on the One, His Father who sent Him, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Death won't have dominion over those that believe on Jesus' words. Hear His words and do them, and believe on His Father who sent Him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to start at verse 19. "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." By Jesus the man came also the resurrection of the dead. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And if we just, in my Bible, I'll have to turn the page over to 1 Corinthians there's a couple verses here. Verse 14 says, "The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord of heaven." Paul is making a point here. The first man, Adam, the second man, Jesus. We get something from both of those men. In verse 23, "But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits." Did I skip verse 22? "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at His coming. Then cometh the end, when He shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He hath put all enemies under His feet. the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And sure enough, when we turn to the book of Revelation in chapter 20, we find that Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and destroyed, and also is death and the grave completely wiped out, non-existent. All that offend are thrown into the lake of fire. All that's left are things that will be perfected. Things are starting to look like it was when God initially gave man dominion over the earth. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So the man Christ Jesus will be subject to his Father, the one who originally allowed him to have all authority and power, the one who put all things under his feet. These things we do not hear in most of Christianity. Let's turn to Acts chapter 3. And we'll start at verse 19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, whom before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, stop there. Verse 21, Jesus will remain in the heavens until it's time to restore all things. God has spoken these things from the very beginning. God has set things in motion that were to be established in a certain way. Man is supposed to have dominion over the face of the earth. Man isn't supposed to have dominion in the heavens, but over the earth. And it is through Christ, the man, that this will take place. Very important that we understand that Jesus is a man. Otherwise, all this really doesn't make any sense. And then the earth will be back to the way that God had designed it. Let's close with a text in Luke chapter 12. And we'll start at verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also, where your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for the Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered this house, his house, to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. So when Jesus comes and takes his kingdom and has dominion over this earth, those that are waiting, those that are seeking the kingdom, will also be made rulers with him over all that he hath. And what he has is the earth. Let's have a song. Oh.
close today with song number 257. Hail to the brightness of Zion's glad morning. 257. Let's stand, please.
Shining lights in the world of darkness, that we might be examples and ministers of your gospel and of your word, that they might understand the things that you have set forth, that you have planned for this earth and for this world. And we pray that you will help us to be ready for the soon return of your Son, and that we might all together in that day be found faithful and be given dominion with your Son over the face of this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.